Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The presence of God can be very strong in a local church. The Holy Spirit can move mightily in a gathering of God's people. And that's why believers should not forsake the assembling of themselves together. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Erwin Lutzer comes now to conclude God's Glory in Our Church.
Now, when the presence of God is with us, a number of things happen. First of all, there's conviction of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, when somebody comes into your assembly and somebody is prophesying, that is to say, preaching the word, he says, he will be convinced by all and convicted, and he will fall on his face and say, surely God is among you, because his secrets will be revealed. Wow, happens all the time. Somebody comes into church and he's sleeping with his girlfriend or maybe with someone else within a marriage relationship, and it's all rationalized and it's all tucked under and it's all secret and it's all right, and he may even be comfortable with it. And then he comes to church and he hears a message and he hears a song, and suddenly he knows that he needs to repent of his sin. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. Or somebody comes with anger and bitterness and all of this that has spilled over into their lives and ruined their lives. And in the presence of God, small sins suddenly become big ones, like the man who cheated on his expense accounts. That's what businessmen do. They cheat on expense accounts. They all do it. But suddenly, when the Holy Spirit of God began to show him who he really was, he fell across his desk and could not stop sobbing and said it was as if he was looking into the pit of hell. That's what happens when the presence of God is there. But it isn't just conviction of sin. The presence of God brings the joy of God. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Because we at the Moody Church never would leave someone simply with guilt without telling them how that guilt can be removed. And that's why in virtually every service we point out that Jesus Christ gave an offering and a sacrifice for sin. And your sin is not so big, but that God cannot forgive it. There is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. And the presence of God reminds us of that. Remember that that's what we desire. But as we learned last time, what happens is when there's sin in our lives, when we go our own way, when within a congregation there is open sin that is not dealt with, then the presence of God withdraws. We here at the Moody Church as a leadership are desperate for the glory, for the presence of God. May people who come in here, may you visitors who've never been to Moody Church before today, may you come here and say, surely God is in this place. And may those of us who come here regularly say the same thing. The presence of God has to be here. Secondly, we come to church because we want to worship God. Worship is giving our full faculties and our attention to Almighty God. Worship is the means by which we come into God's presence and we again recognize who He is, and in the process realize who we are and who we aren't. Worship is so critical. But you can't come and worship in a church when you've been up the night before, seeing perhaps movies with all of the imagery still in your mind. If you're in a sinful relationship, you can't worship God. I mean, you can sing the songs, you can pray the prayers, you can go through the motions, you can stay awake during the sermon, I hope, but you can't really worship God. Now, think of the book of Revelation, chapters 4 and 5. When the church is finally free of sin, hey, aren't you looking forward to that day? Just imagine. Yeah, you ought to clap for that. Imagine. Finally free of all sin. Finally being able to worship God without mediation. Standing in God's presence, heaven opens to John. And what does John see? John sees the 24 elders worshiping God. 24 elders representing, of course, the saints of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the patriarchs, or the 12 sons of Jacob, but also representing the 12 apostles. And what are they doing? They're casting their crowns before him. They are giving God worship. And they are seeing God face to face as he actually is at last. And we here on earth, we begin that process. We meet every week as a worship committee, and we try to plan a service around a certain theme. Sometimes we're better at it than we are at other times. But we recognize that we cannot make Moody Church worship. We cannot make you worship. Only God can do that. And we also recognize that you will only worship to the extent that you have planned to worship before you come here, so that you've spent time with God before you walk into this building to give him all of your anxieties, to give him all of your sins, to take care of personal relationships, so that now with uninterrupted focus, when we sing a song, if it's a song of praise, we are praising. If it is a prayer, we are praying, because we are entering into worship. And the worship has begun long before the service opens. You see, that's what we're all about. What we want to do as a church is to begin to worship before we get to heaven, rather than waiting until we get there. God desires that among his people. So, first of all, it should be a church that is characterized by the presence of God. Secondly, we should also be characterized by the worship of God. And of course, we should be also characterized by the mandate of God. We have a responsibility. And our responsibility is not just to one another, but to the wider culture. As some of you know, I have more than simply a passing interest in Nazi Germany. And one day, Martin Niemöller had an opportunity to speak with Hitler. Hitler had brought all the pastors together, or at least the leaders, because he was sensing some opposition on their part. And then he said to them, "You take care of the German church, and I will take care of the German people." In other words, you stick within your boundaries, and I'll take care of the German people. When Niemöller had a chance to speak to Hitler as they were saying goodbye, he said to him, "Der Führer," he said, "you said that we were just to take care of the church and you would take care of the German people. But," he said, "we also have a mandate to the German people given to us by God, and no one can take it from us." Hitler turned away without a word, and later on, 2,000 pastors who had supported Niemöller backed away from their support, because they thought that if we simply leave Hitler alone, he'd leave us alone. But of course, Niemöller was right. What is our responsibility as a church? Is it simply to worship, simply to learn, simply to equip? No, Jesus Christ has called us to make the invisible God visible to this culture. To take the invisible God and his presence, and to take that presence to all the different areas of Chicago and beyond, that we might be bearers of God and his message, so that we become transforming agents. And we become transforming agents in offices and banks and hospitals where the world has gone astray and they are looking for answers. And we're available to God, and we say to God, "Here we are. Today, glorify yourself in my life at my expense. You live that way, and you'll be surprised whom God might bring to you. You know, there is a story about a boy who was not reared in church, and because he wasn't reared, he didn't know exactly what to expect when he walked into a church, but he was told that God dwells there. And perhaps you've heard it. He came in and he met the pastor and he said to the pastor, "Be you God?" Folks, we are God to a world that has lost its way. And God has called us as the Moody Church to make the invisible God visible to a skeptical world through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we must do is to make sure that we seek him with all of our hearts, that his glory, his dwelling place, that God might feel comfortable among us, that the companionship of God, which all of us desire, might be an experience that all of us have, so that people say, "Surely God dwells there among his people." Are we ready for what God might want to do? Will you join me as we pray together? Father, I'm gripped by the phrase that says the dwelling of God by the Spirit, that's what you are doing. Would you help all of us now, Lord, to be overcome by the recognition that you are building something. You are building here in this church a temple where you can dwell. We pray, Father, that you might help us to rid the temple of impurities through confession, through repentance, and that you, by your power, might visit us and that we might experience the fullness of your blessing. To those who are here who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they know that through him they can have forgiveness of sins and belong to you forever. Lord, by your Spirit, do what we can't. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Luther. I recall reading a statistic, I hope that I'm quite accurate in what I'm going to say, that about 75% of people say that they would come to church if they were invited. You know, one of the great opportunities God has given us in this country is to be able to invite people to church. To be able to befriend them and to give them an opportunity to be together as we worship, as we sing songs, as we honor the Lord, as we listen to his word. That's why I believe that the church is so incredibly important, because there is a sense in which God is among his people in a way that is special and unique, that is even very different from his presence in our own individual lives. Bottom line, honor your church and you will honor the Lord.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up God's Glory in Our Church, the second in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, don't miss God's Glory in Our Witness. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.